Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
2 Kings chapter 4, I want to take you on a little journey tonight. And before I do that, I just want to welcome some guests here tonight. We've got Lungi from Samoa. Good on you, Lungi. Good to see you here tonight. And we've got Angela and Stuart and Trish and up there as well. And before we go tonight, we want to pray for you guys that as you go back to Thailand, Samoa, you'll go back with a mighty touch of God to fulfill the vision, the mission that God's placed upon your life. And that would be an honor for us. But in 2 Kings chapter 4, we have a story here. And it goes from verse 8 to 37. And basically it's speaking about Elisha that raises the Shulamite's son. Now, if you just kind of want to, in your own time, kind of have a bit of a look at it, it's an interesting story because the Shunammite woman, she's unnamed. It just says, that's the woman from Liverpool. Or that's a woman from somewhere else. She's unnamed. And I kind of wonder at that sometimes, why are some of the stories in the Bible where they name people, like they name Nicodemus that was up a tree, and they name the Philip, and they name, you know, Bartholomew and others, and David and Jabez, but some people are just unnamed, and I really don't know why it's kind of done that way, but that's the way it is. But it says here in the Bible that she was a great woman, or the Bible says in the King James Version, it says that she was a notable woman, which means she was great. Okay, she was married, she had a great husband as well. And it's interesting that they both displayed hospitality and kindness to people. Who believes it's always a good trait to show hospitality and kindness? Yeah. I really believe our world is short of people showing kindness to others. Not here, of course, but the people who stayed home tonight. And showing hospitality to people, I just think it's a great thing for us to be engaged in. Because this couple displayed hospitality, it brought them into a relationship with a mighty man of God called Elisha. And as we see it in Shunem here, it must have been kind of one of those places that you went through to get somewhere else. Because he used to often call in, and you can take that off the screen, thanks, it's fine. That he would often call in as a regular visitor. And one day she was talking to her husband and say, hey, this Elisha character, he calls in a lot. Let's build him an upper room. In our language, it would be, hey, let's build him a granny flat. Let's put a bed in it. Let's put a chair. Let's put a lampstand. Let's put a TV in it. Let's put some good music in there. And when he passes by, he can just have his rest and have his personal space because he's a man of God. So a greatness was displayed, or their greatness was displayed in their thoughtfulness and their generosity and their kindness to others. So as Elisha was, you know, enjoying the hospitality and the thoughtfulness and the kindness, he was just sitting there in his bed one day and he thought, I want to reward her. So he got his servant to go and say, is there anything we can help you with? And in verse 13 of that chapter, she basically says, hey, I'm okay, I have all I need. I'm okay, I have all I need. Or she says, I don't need for anything. And then Elisha thought to himself again, well, what can I do for her? You know, sometimes you want to show generosity to some people and kindness, and you ask them what they want, and they say, I don't want anything. You know, people ask me, what would you like? I said, like, I've basically got everything. But he went back a bit deeper, and he says, well, let's find out what we can do for her. And the servant Gehazi, he says, well, they've got no kids. You notice that? When you came up the driveway, you didn't fall over a push bike. You know, you didn't find any Lego floating around the place. You know, it's obvious they got no children. And the husband, man, he's old. He's probably past it, actually, but he's old. So in verse 16, it says there, she stands before Elisha. And this is what he says to her. He says, by this time next year, you will hold a son. But he didn't even know if she really wanted kids. But he must have perceived something in his spirit. Because her response was this. Elisha, don't lie to me. So you kind of see from that she had a desire, but being barren in those days, you know, carried its own shame. And no doubt she did all, you know, to get pregnant, but nothing worked. But what's amazing about this, when something doesn't happen to some people, when something doesn't come through the way that they wanted, and there's a delay of some sort, and it seemed like these couple were getting older. He was old, and there was no child, and she could have got bitter and twisted and just paused at that. I can't have children. If I can't have children, I'm going to close down my whole life. But amazingly, she got on with her life. There was no bitterness or resentment. How do I know that? Because she opened a house. She entertained, you know, the people that walked through the town and gave them meals and gave them hospitality. She kind of didn't let the delay or what was not happening at this moment stop her from being a person that could live a full life. I admire that about this woman. In verse 17, it says she was barren, but after Elisha said to her, you will conceive, it says the woman conceived. Now, read the story. It's interesting. I'm going to brush through it. So she has a child. She has a son. And you can just imagine the great joy that was in their hearts, in the old dad's heart and in the mum's heart. And as they kind of showed off the baby to all their family and friends, and it was the joy of their heart. But one day, the father took the son out into the field to do harvest. And I don't know what happened to him, but it seems like he got sunstruck and they brought him home and he died in the mother's arms. Just kind of think, wow. But the good news is, Elisha raised him from the dead. Interesting story. Then it goes on to talk about her husband dies. And then the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 8 and verses 1 to 6 that famine comes to the land and Elisha says to her, hey, leave this town, get out of here because there's a drought coming on this region for 7 years. And he says, go and stay where you can. So after the 7 year famine had ended, she returns. And when she returns, she goes back to her property, her farm, as it were, and full restoration of her property is made to her. And the proceeds or the profit that was made when she was gone got restored to her as well. Who believes that's a good story? Is that okay? So you might say that's a good story that, got a bit rocky there in the middle, but it ended well. But you've got to understand, church, and for the next couple of moments, I want to share with you because this story had a beginning. And the beginning was that this woman and this husband and wife were willing to make room. They made room. They not only fed Elisha, but when he was journeying through, they kind of thought, let's make a room. Let's make some plans for expansion. So they make a room and they intentionally plan and they get probably advice from others of, you know, how we could build this and how it could all kind of flow into the house we've got. And it took time, it took resource, it took energy, it took money. You see, if we don't intentionally make room for the things that are important to our life, listen, we'll never do it. If I never get round, and Karen myself talk about this every year, she says, we've got to make time that we have time together and that we go on holidays. Who thinks that's a good idea? You see, my most of my life is wrapped around work. I love holidays, but work seems to kind of snatch me up, and I'm dragged here and dragged there and those kind of things. And I find if I don't intentionally do it, it never happens. Yeah. And I believe that can happen in the main things of life, is we don't intentionally plan to make room for God and make room for others. It will never happen. It always stays a good idea, but nothing will ever transform out of it because we haven't intentionally said, this is a date, this is a time, this is when we're going to do it. Yeah. One day never comes. So I've got some observations. Number one is this. Are you okay with this tonight?
Yeah. Yes.
You've got to make room, listen, for Jesus in your life. And I really feel that this year that God does not want us to be overcrowded in life. We're into the third month of the year now, and you know, life's starting to happen. I think it's easy for us to kind of begin to get overcrowded with life, and you just think, here we go again, the humdrums happen. I just want to encourage you, hey, don't get sucked into this vortex, as it were, of, man, it's just the same as last year. Busy, busy, busy. Hey, let's make room for Jesus. Let's make some space within our life. Let's make some gaps. So this woman, number one, one point is this. She made room to do good. She made room to do good. Elisha would pass by and she would give him meal, generosity and care. And I just want to encourage us, church, come on, if we're to make room for Jesus, let's make room to do good.
Very good.
Oh, you might say, what does that look like? Hey, out of the goodness of your heart, good things happen. The good man out of the treasury's heart brings forth what is good. Oh, you might say, I'm too old, I'm too young. No, you're not too anything. You are human. You have compassion. You have the grace of God upon your life. And all we need to do is make these gaps within our life, and we'll be amazed the opportunities that come our way. It's another interesting point about this woman, that she had a perception of what and who was holy. And she developed that perception over a period of time, because she says, she said to her husband, I perceive that this man is a holy man that comes into our life. And I just want to encourage you, church, the people that come into your life, make sure that they're holy people. Make sure that they're doing you good. They haven't got an angle. They're not trying to rip you off. They're not trying to con you, but they're holy people. And I believe that God gives us a perception of what is holy. And she had this perception in her heart. She says, I know this is a holy man who passes by regularly. I want to encourage you, know what is holy and know who is holy. And you know, and sometimes I'm watching things on TV or going through stuff, and I'm not a legalist at all, but if I feel that that's starting to do something to my soul, I'm pulling out of it, because I want to have a keen perception of what is holy and what is good. Number three, she went the extra mile. Listen, some people cannot go the extra mile. She went the extra mile because she could. I believe it's good to go the first mile, but I believe there's extra blessing in the extra mile.
Yeah, right. Very good. Very good.
Well, you know, you know, someone says, give me your shirt. Hey, no worries, take my shoes as well. But I want to tell you, if you want my shirt tonight, you're not going. You could not bear to look at this body. You kind of get the idea of what I'm kind of saying, that she went the extra mile because she did. What was the extra mile? She not only gave him food, but she built a granny flat. That this holy man, who she perceived to be holy because he did holy things and he was a blessing to the household, she blessed. It wasn't just talk, it was action.
Yeah, very good.
I just kind of love that. She went the extra mile. I just want to encourage us today. Don't let negativity or cynicism or doubt hold you back from going the extra mile for being a generous, kind person.
Very good. Very good. Yeah.
because something happens and you might say, oh yeah, I've taken advantage of. You know, wisdom comes as you keep journey. You learn to build your boundaries in life as we move forward. And the Bible says this, she went the extra mile. And the Bible says this, which is interesting, in Galatians it says this, let us not grow weary in doing good. Listen, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. She decided she was getting on with her life. She couldn't have children. Certain things weren't happening, but she was getting on with her life and she was keep on doing good. She didn't grow weary. And look what happened. In due season, she reaped. Man, probably what her heart desired was. And she said, regardless of what happens or not, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve people. I'm going to be a blessing with what God has got in our life. It's time you stop looking at what you've lost and start looking at what you have left. Oh, I've lost everything. Hey, get your eyes off it. You can't do anything about what you've lost, but you can do a lot with what you've got left. Maybe divorced, you got kids. May have lost my money, but man, you got your job. Stop crying about what you've lost and start to embrace what you have left and let's move forward in strength in Jesus' name. Oh, I'm trying. You know, verse 16, when she kind of went the extra mile and Elisha is sitting there and he says this statement. You will have a son. Look at me. What is the God's will for your life? You will. What did God say to Abraham? You will be a father of many nations. What are the God wills in your life? Because I know if God says, I will to you, he will do it. Jesus says to the disciples, I will make you fishers of men. What has God said to you? I will restore your marriage. I will bless you. I will raise you up. I will cause you to be prosperous. I will cause you not to be the tail. I will cause you to be the head. What are the God wills in your life? What has he said to you? And you just kind of think, man, it's not kind of happening. Hey, don't let that stop you. Get on with life anyway. Amen. Man, I'm working up an appetite. I'm going to tell you a secret. You ready? In 2007, a prophet spoke to me and it freaked me out. I'm unfreakable. I've seen so many freaks. I've been in this all of my life. But it kind of freaked me out because he began to speak to me about things that I dreamed about as a teenager and kind of left them on the back burner because I felt they could never become a reality from where I came from. That same year, I went to the USA and I had a meal with a friend who was a kind of in tune with the Holy Spirit. And she just looked me straight in the eyes and she says, hey, John, very soon something is going to come personally into your life and it's going to bring you great joy and great satisfaction. Now, it's not a big deal for you because everyone's got their big deal. But in 2008, I was voted in to be the state president of ACC New South Wales. That's the movement we belong to. And I'm still am. They kind of can't get rid of me. So in the state, 350. When I was a teenager, that came into my heart. Isn't that weird? How many years did it kind of take? But I just put it aside and said, man, I'm going to get on with life anyway. I'm going to get married. I'm going to have kids. I'm going to have grandkids. Kids first and grandkids. Yeah, move on and just build a church and get on with life. Just get on with life. Yeah. In 2009, I was voted onto our national leadership team of our movement, over 1,100 churches. And that's not a brag thing. I'm just telling you a story. I desired these things, but I had to give them to God because I couldn't make it happen. I used to say, oh, God, I don't know how this is going to happen. So I just had to give it to Jesus. That took a while. Who finds you need to give things to Jesus and it takes a while for you to give them? I'll just get on with my life. And that's what the Shunammite woman did, just go on with her life. And looking back now, I just thank God that I didn't get that, you know, that position, you know, kind of when I kind of was pushing for it, because I wouldn't be able to handle it. Hey, just maybe what God has planned for your life, as you just get onto it and develop your character and develop your strength, man, at a time when you think not, bam, there it'll be. The desires that Jesus has placed in your heart. And I'd guarantee all around this place there's desires that Jesus has placed there. Afraid to say that sometimes we've got to let them die. Because we're trying to make it happen in our own strength. And God says, hey, this is my gig. But as we make room for Jesus, I believe in his time, he's able to resurrect dead dreams. He's able to resurrect desires that have gone cold within your heart. And even if he doesn't, we're getting on with life in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to part one of this message.